Ever catch yourself staring at your computer screen? Like you're looking, but not really seeing anything? Like your brain's totally checked out?
Happens to the best of us, right?
Totally. But what if your computer could actually sense that? Like before you even realized it?
Now that's an interesting thought.
That's just one of the wild things we're diving into today. I wear computers.
It's fascinating, isn't it? We're way beyond just like displaying information now.
Right.
They're becoming like actual extensions of our senses, gathering all this data on how we interact with the world.
It's kind of creepy, kind of cool, all at the same time, right? We're digging into some research from a human-computer interaction forum. They're literally calling it I Wear Computers.
Catchy.
And let me tell you, this stuff is straight out of sci-fi.
It's remarkable how fast it's evolving, though. I mean, we've gone from those clunky headsets to devices so sleek you barely even notice them.
Yeah, those early ones were something else.
And the capabilities. Light years ahead.
Okay, so let's break it down. What's actually in these things? The research mentions, like, eye tracking.
Right, eye tracking. But it's not just about, like, where you're looking.
It's like they know what you're thinking.
Well, close. It's called corneal imaging.
Corneal imaging.
Yeah. So by analyzing the reflection in your eye, these devices, they can potentially figure out not just what you're seeing, but what you're actually, like, processing, understanding.
So they can tell if I'm zoning out in a meeting.
Yeah.
Or, like, struggling to understand a concept.
Precisely.
Busted.
Big implications, though. Think about it. Education. Workplace productivity. Imagine a world where, like, learning difficulties are identified super early on. Just because your eyewear is picking up on the fact that you're not really engaging with the material how you should be.
Wow. It's like personalized learning on a whole other level.
Exactly.
Okay, but hold on. There's more. This source also talks about tiny cameras capturing your entire field of view.
Oh, yeah. Egocentric vision.
Egocentric vision.
Yeah.
That sounds intense.
It's an amazing tool, though, for researchers especially. Imagine being able to see the world literally through someone else's eyes.
Wow. Yeah.
It just opens up all these new ways to study how we behave, how we interact.
And don't even get me started on all the other sensors packed into these things. Microphones, motion sensors. They even mentioned brain-computer interfaces.
It's a lot, right?
It's mind-blowing.
But what's really exciting is how all that data is, like, revolutionizing human-computer interaction.
Okay, so we're moving beyond keyboards and mice.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about a world where our bodies, even our minds, they become the primary input devices.
So we've covered how these glasses can practically read our minds.
Pretty much.
But what about the output? What are they doing with all that info?
Well, that's where it gets really interesting. I mean, we're all familiar with the visual applications, right? Heads-up displays, AR, VR, all that jazz.
Sure, sure.
But it goes way beyond that now. The research even mentions sound, touch, even smell as output.
Smell. Now, that's a sensory experience I wasn't expecting from a pair of glasses.
Think of it like sensory augmentation.
Sensory augmentation?
Yeah, like enhancing our current senses, not just replacing them. Imagine a device that filters specific sounds so you can hear better in, like, noisy environments.
So, like, noise-canceling headphones built into my glasses.
Exactly.
Okay, I could see that. But how would smell even work?
Well, scent, it's incredibly powerful when it comes to memory, emotion.
Sure.
Imagine a subtle aroma triggered by a memory that your glasses captured.
That's wild. I mean, that's a lot of potential, but also a lot to unpack there. You know, like how those kind of sensory manipulations could really mess with our experiences.
It's true.
But before we go too far down that rabbit hole, let's go back to the visuals for a sec. The research mentioned different types of displays, right? Something about optical see-through versus video see-through.
Yeah, you're right. How these images are displayed is huge. Optical see-through is like looking through a window with information overlaid on top.
Yeah.
Video see-through uses cameras to capture the real world and then overlays information on top of that live feed.
So it's like the difference between looking at a heads-up display in a car versus playing a video game on a VR headset.
Exactly.
Okay, got it.
And then there are opaque displays, which block out the real world entirely, like, you know, VR headsets. Each type has its own pros and cons, depending on what you're using it for.
Okay, so we've got these glasses, right, and they can pick up on all this information about what we're seeing, thinking, even experiencing through our other senses.
It's a fire hose of data, really.
Totally.
Yeah.
But where's it all going? Like, what's the big picture here?
Well, the research, it highlights three main applications for this tech that I think really get at the potential impact.
All right, me.
Okay, so the first one, it's called multimodal user modeling.
multimodal user model.
Yeah, and this is where it gets really interesting. Remember all those sensors we talked about?
Yeah.
Eye tracking, brain-computer interfaces, the whole shebang. Multimodal user modeling basically takes all that data and uses it to build this, like, crazy detailed profile of you, the user.
So it's more than just, like, knowing my name and what websites I visit.
It's way more.
They're talking about understanding how I learn, how I work, even how I, like, emotionally react to different situations.
Exactly. Imagine, like, your eyewear senses that you're getting frustrated with something at work. Instead of waiting for you to completely lose it, it could, you know, subtly adjust the difficulty of the task. Mm. Or even just suggest that you take a break.
That's wild. It's like having a personal assistant who knows me better than I know myself.
In a way, yeah. Mm. Which leads us to the second big application, lifelong learning.
Lifelong learning. Okay.
Imagine wearing these glasses your whole life, right? From childhood to adulthood, the amount of data they could gather on your learning patterns, your strengths, weaknesses, it's kind of mind-boggling.
It's like instead of this one-size-fits-all education system, you'd have this, like, completely personalized learning experience tailored to your specific needs and abilities.
Exactly. And it's not just about formal education either. Imagine these glasses helping you learn a new language or pick up a new skill or even just adapt to a new job all in a way that's, like, perfectly suited to how you learn best.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But it also makes you think about the downsides, right? Like, what happens to all that data? Who has access to it? Seems like there are some serious privacy issues there.
Oh, absolutely. As with any powerful technology, you know, there are always going to be risks, ethical considerations, things we need to figure out. But let's put a pin in that for a sec and talk about the third application, which I think raises even more of these kind of complex questions.
Okay, lay it on me.
This one's called collective behavior analysis, and it's probably the most thought-provoking of the three. Basically, it's about using this technology to study how groups of people behave in different situations.
So we're talking about, like, tracking the movements of crowds at a concert. Or analyzing the flow of foot traffic in a city.
Exactly. And I know it might sound kind of big brothery at first.
Just a tad.
But there are some potentially good uses for it, too. For example, this data could be used to improve safety at big events. Or optimize traffic flow. Maybe even help coordinate emergency responses.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that. But it also feels like a slippery slope, you know?
Yeah.
If these glasses can track my every move and, like, analyze my behavior in real time.
Yeah.
Where do we draw the line? It's like we're about to be able to, like, predict the future of human behavior.
Well, maybe not the future, but...
You know, predict human behavior.
Yeah, it's a wild thought, for sure.
It really makes you wonder, like, what does it even mean to be human anymore? In a world where everything we do, think, even feel, can be observed, analyzed, you know, in real time.
That's the heart of it, isn't it? This isn't just about, like, faster computers or fancier gadgets.
Right.
This tech, it's about fundamentally changing what it means to interact. With technology, with each other, it's exciting, it's challenging, and it's definitely something we need to be talking about now.
For sure.
Because the future of all this, these eyewear computers, it's not being decided in some lab somewhere, you know?
No.
It's being shaped by all of us right now.
Man, that's a lot to process. This whole deep dive today has been incredible. From mind-reading classes to AI tutors that know us better than we know ourselves.
Don't forget the whole collective behavior analysis thing.
Oh, yeah. How could I forget? There's just so much to unpack here.
And we're just scratching the surface, really.
So where do we go from here?
Well, I think the first step is just staying informed, paying attention to how this technology develops, and not being afraid to, you know, ask the tough questions.
Absolutely. The future is closer than we think. And it's up to us to make sure it's a good one. That's it for today's deep dive. Until next time, keep those minds open and remember.
The future's waiting for nobody.
That's right. The future waits for nobody.